All right. Well, we'll continue. Remember, try to remember that Tuesday, and just put it in your phone. I never forget anything that's in my phone, right? Because we probably see our phones more than we see anything else in our lives. So anyway, I'll put that in there. But we're in a series called Why, and we're at week three, and we're wrestling, I think, with some of the most commonly asked questions about God. And today we're going to talk about probably the most commonly asked one. In fact, Mike and I, we were talking, and we were talking about, I think I may have preached another message with this exact same title some years ago. He says, that, you know, I was writing that down, it seemed familiar. New improved message. This is message, you know, 201, so an upgrade. But you know, it's probably the most commonly asked question I'm asked. I'm asked a lot of questions as a pastor, why this, why that? But why do, here's one way it happens, why do bad things happen to good people? Or really, just bluntly, why isn't God fair? Or why doesn't God seem fair? And you've probably asked that question, or you know somebody who has. And I could probably safely say we probably have all asked that question. Now, if you've asked that, in fact, how many of you ever had one of those times when you have asked the question, God, why? All right. Okay, so it's probably, you know, and I have. God, why? Now, since you raised your hand, I want to give you some comfort. You are not the first ones. We are not the first generation to ask that. People have been asking that literally for thousands of years. Thousands of years. In fact, just a couple of examples. In Genesis 18, okay, we just got the planet started. Genesis 18, more than 2,000 years before Christ, Abraham said, "Should the judge of the world not act fairly?" Moses one time said, "Lord, why don't you treat people the way they deserve?" Jeremiah, the prophet, said, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper?" Doesn't that say, have you ever asked that? How come people who are out cheating, immoral, whatever, they see their bank accounts seem to be rising? And here you are, honest, integrity, trying to do the right thing, and it seems like it's going down. That doesn't seem fair. Jeremiah said the same thing. How come that just doesn't seem fair? David in the Bible, boy, you read Psalms, it's hard to, you know, read Psalms for any length of time without seeing David saying, "Hey, why have you done this? Why have you done that? God, you know, you didn't hear or answer my prayer. Where are you? You know, why didn't you show yourself to me? Why don't you deliver me? You know, why doesn't God seem fair?" Here's how people ask it today. Usually it's much more specific. It's why do so many children starve to death? Or why do so many die in developing countries from preventable diseases? Anytime there's a natural disaster, right? Could be a tsunami, could be an earthquake, it could be, you know, a tornado, a hurricane, whatever. There's always that question, you know, where was God in all this? Where was God when we really needed him? And these, by the way, they're fair questions. These are fair questions and ones that we should biblically examine. Now, as a pastor, most of the time when I'm asked this kind of questions, it's not about the global world, you know, the starving children in, you know, other parts of the world or whatever. Usually the focus is, why did this bad thing happen to me? Right. Or why is this happening, you know, in the life of someone I love or somebody I care about? Why did this happen to our family? Some of you have asked, you know, and I want to say this with all due sensitivity. You've had to ask the question, God, where were you when I was being abused? When I was just a little girl, I was just a little boy, and that person was doing those bad things to me. Where were you when that was happening? Some of you have asked, you know, God, why couldn't you save my marriage? All I wanted to do was just be happily married, you know, and it fell apart. Some of you have asked, God, why isn't there someone out there for me? Or why did she get breast cancer? Why did he get a brain tumor? You know, it doesn't seem fair. You know, why haven't we been able to conceive? You know, why was my child born with that disability? It's one in 100,000. Why me in all of that? Why was I the one laid off? I've been the hard worker and I've been there putting in my hours, putting in my time. Why was I the one to get the pink slip, you know? And I worked so hard and been with a company for, you know, X number of years and I got bills to pay. And it may not even be that severe. It may be in a practical day-by-day basis. God, why can't we just get ahead? Or why can't we just get even, right? That's right, you know, just when you think you're got the ends met, somebody moves the ends, right? And what why can't we do that? That just, it doesn't seem fair. I'm trying hard. I'm trying to live for you. And I know people who are in deep, deep conflict because in their heart, they believe God's good and they believe God's in control. But then they have their doubts. You know, you say, oh, I believe God. I believe you. I believe you're good. I believe you're in control. But then they feel forced in this corner, and they, because it's like, if God is so good and God is so in control, why is all this mess happening? You know? Because if he was so good, he would have done something about my situation, about this situation, whatever it might be. And so sometimes people get to a point where they just conclude, well, okay, either I can't trust God, or, you know, God doesn't care, or maybe he just doesn't exist. And now I'm going to be able to definitely launch us now into some really important thoughts. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not in, 30 minutes going to be able to, have us put everything together in every nuance of this question. But I hope that as we take a biblical, look, and we look at the framework of this, it's my prayer that through God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, that every one of us will walk away with a greater sense that God is in control and God is truly good. I sang for a while with, at different times of the season with Don Moen, and he wrote that song, God is Good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. And that's sometimes in our situations hard to believe because we think, wow, if he is so good, where is he when things are going so bad? You know, in church world, many times if things are going bad for people, bad things happen to you. Sometimes there's people say, well, that's because there's sin in your life, or because, you didn't have enough faith, or perhaps, you weren't reading your Bible or praying enough. They'll take unrelated activities and actions and use it to say you're being punished for some unrelated reason. You got cancer. Oh, it's because you didn't have faith and aren't praying enough. It's like, wait. What does that have to do? What does one have to do with the other? And I've been asked that. People have been diagnosed with cancer. They'll say, I know. Is it because, is God punishing me? And I want to put all of that junk aside for a moment and deal biblically with some of the reasons why bad things happen in your life. Here's number one. It may be just that you're a victim of a broken world. We live in a sin-stained world. Genesis 1 through 3, we see that God created the world and everything in it was good. God said that and it was good. It was good. And then Adam and Eve sinned and against God, and let me tell you, the world wasn't as good anymore. When sin entered the world, there were punishment, there were consequences, there were even curses. And it wasn't just consequences and curses on mankind. It's not just that sin entered the world, but God, we know, said he cursed the ground. So, that's why it's not so easy. That's why you got to go out in your backyard and weed and till and all that. It's tough. So the earth, this planet that we're on, is not the same as it once was. Ladies, babies are now painful to have. Can I get an amen? Right? And God said that. There would be pain in that childbirth. The ground would be cursed. There's sickness. There's pain. There's death. And Jesus never said, anywhere in this world, you'll never have a migraine headache. He never said that. He never said, in this world, people will never flip you off while you're driving your car down the road for no apparent reason. All right? He didn't say that. God never said, teenagers, God never said, you will never get a zit on your nose the day before prom. He never said that, right? We're living in a broken world. People say, but I'm a Christian. Isn't God supposed to give me all this peace and joy and happiness? And I mean, my sins are forgiven. Isn't it supposed to be every, blessings and happiness and ease? Jesus said, and look at this in John 16:33, in this world, he said, that we're living in right now, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. We will have trouble. He's victorious. He's the King of kings and Lord of earth. That's all. But we will have trouble. Why did he say that? He didn't want us to be shocked by it. You will have hard times and situations you never understand. The good news is that Christ has overcome the world. But right now, some things happen to us simply because our world's broken. We're living in a sinful, broken world. And that's why we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, look at this. It says, dear brothers, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Now, this point and the next one may or may not be tied together. Okay, so I want you to see number two in this. One, you might be a victim of a broken world. Number two, maybe you brought it on yourself. I'll tell you what. I mean, if I could kick the person responsible for most of my problems, I wouldn't be able to sit for a week. I'm telling you. Okay? I am my biggest headache, right? It's not my wife. It's not my kids. My biggest problem is me. And sometimes bad things happen to us because of the condition of the world, but perhaps because someone else, you're making wrong choices. Now, let me say this. Sometimes we have things happen to us because of somebody else's wrong choices. Our broken world. You know, I've been asked this question. How could that drunk driver run into, you know, our car and kill? In fact, I lost a friend and his daughter that I've known since I was, high school? And he was a heart specialist, just a great guy. Drunk driver, boom, smash, you know. And why? You know, was that their fault? No, they're not driving drunk. They're just driving along with their family, all four of them, and two of them, boom, gone. Doesn't seem right. But sometimes bad things happen because of ourselves. And there are consequences to our sinful behavior. You know, I mean, right? You go to a party, beer bong, 12 beers, get in your car and drive, and then run into another car, get a DUI, lose your license because it's not the first time this has happened. And then you can't get to work and you're saying, God, how could you do this to me? You know? I mean, I got to work. I got to get to work, and I've got to live to provide for my family. And God looks down and says, verily, verily, I saith unto thee, thou art an idiot. That'd be King James, right? It's like, right? I mean, the teenage paraphrase, dude, you did it to yourself, right? I mean, then sadly, others get hurt. Again, can get hurt by our sinful choices, other people's sinful choices. And man, and then I have to refer them back to point number one. And that's tough. That's hard. And I have to say, you know, the questions that are hardest to answer are the ones where somebody else is the idiot. Somebody else makes the stupid choice. Somebody else is high. Somebody else is drunk or whatever. Somebody else is irresponsible, and then we pay for that consequences. Broken world. Or, you know, brought it on ourselves. And the truth of it is, you may not have crashed into somebody and killed them, but we have done things. My sin has brought pain to other people. My sin has brought pain to my wife. My sin has brought pain to my family. You see, so when we do something stupid, if I sin, it brings pain to you. You know, maybe indirectly to a sense, but you know what I mean? As your pastor. So, hey, broken world, or maybe brought it upon yourself. Look what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. You know, and I've heard people complain, God, why am I hurting financially? Why aren't you supplying, you know, so forth? I mean, I just had somebody recently, you know, say this, you know, God, why isn't God, not here at Hillside. Somebody said, why isn't God helping me financially? I just don't understand it. I'm thinking, I had to finally just say, maybe because you're driving a $40,000 car, living in a $400,000 house, you just got back from a trip for the Bahamas, decided to buy yourself a new iPad, and you only make $24,000 a year. Not rocket surgery, right? I mean, brain science. You guys are awake. This is good. You guys had coffee. You're caffeinated this morning. That's right. That's good. I'm not. No. I am not caffeinated. I needed a rock star back there with Ron. But now, I know I'm not doing too much at this point to make you feel real great. Because you think, great, I did it myself. All these bad things that are happening, it's my fault, and this world's all broken. So, wow, this seems pretty hopeless. But number three, I've got to tell you this. As we look at this, maybe a broken world, maybe doing it to yourself. But number three, maybe God wants to do something big. Perhaps through something you don't understand, through something you would never want, through something very painful, something stressful, perhaps God wants to do something absolutely amazing in your life. You know, I think of that guy in the Bible who was born blind. I mean, he went his whole childhood, teenage years, up into adulthood, and he's blind. And I mean, you know, any of us who would have a child born blind, we think, God, why, you know? I'm sure the man, would, you know, the older he got, then why? I know that other people get to see. Why for me? And while he was born blind, it happens that people do stuff just like usual, right? They ask questions. I wonder whose fault that is. I can't tell you how many times I've done funerals or memorials, and people try to blame themselves. Well, if only I'd done this, maybe this would have happened or whatever. Wow. And I'm sure, you know, as the parents are asking why, they're asking why, it helps. All these people are saying, well, probably the parents, you know, we don't know about it, but they were probably sinful. Or this guy was probably doing some bad stuff. You know, he's born blind. You know, what's he going to do, you know, in there partying in the womb? I don't know. But, oh, I bet he was, you know, sinful. I mean, people were saying this to this guy. Look what Jesus says. He goes, nope, whole new category. John chapter 9, verse 3 says, Jesus' words, he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And the moment this man goes from being blind to seeing, he has a story that'll change the lives of people forever. I was born blind, and Jesus healed me. Isn't that an incredible story? I mean, he told everyone he knew, and God did something supernatural through it. The people he told, they would never be the same. In the Old Testament, we read about Joseph, you know, the guy with the coat of many colors who had the brothers who didn't like it. They were jealous of him. So what did they do? They grabbed him. They snagged him. They put him in a pit, and they sold him off to the Egyptians, got some money for him, and good, the problem's solved, and he's there. And through strange events, he's falsely accused, and he's thrown in prison, all because he's living in integrity. And through some strange and weird circumstances, God elevates him to second in command in all of Egypt. A famine that Joseph, you know, knew was coming. A famine comes, and so people from the outlying nations are coming to Egypt because, thanks to Joseph, they'd made provisions. So people came to Egypt to buy provisions. And what happens? The very brothers that had sold him to slavery come to Joseph asking for help. They don't know who it is, and they're asking, and it's a great story. You read it. But then they discover who he is, and they figure, we're dead. It's over. I mean, second command in Egypt, he's got us. And what does Joseph say to his brothers? He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I mean, he had been in prison. He had been, falsely accused. He had been sold off into slavery. His own family, the country, you know, he's out of his own country. All these things had happened. And I'm sure there were times where Joseph said, why, God, why? And always kept perspective. God's going to do something good. There was a purpose in the middle of this pain. Now, what I'm not trying to do is belittle anyone's pain here. I don't know about everyone here, but I know about some of you. And I know some of you have been through excruciating pain. And I'm not trying to belittle anyone's pain. I'm not saying be thrilled with your bankruptcy, be thrilled with your car wreck, thrilled with somebody else's suffering, be thrilled with the death in your family. I would never say that. In fact, I never say to somebody somebody's just lost a child, I would never say, I don't care if they're Christians or not, but I never say to people, well, you know, God's got a purpose. I mean, come on. They're in their Friday. You know what I mean? We celebrate, and next Easter, we'll do it again, but we do it every Sunday, actually. On Friday before Easter, we remember that Jesus died for us. And that was a dark, dark day. Jesus was dark. And we call it Good Friday only because Sunday was a coming. But we call it Good Friday. But that represented darkness and pain and suffering, and Jesus was beaten and he was hung on a cross. And that's when Jesus even asked his own why question. My God, why? God had to turn his back on sin, and Jesus knew that and felt that, and he said, why have you forsaken me? Jesus asked his own why question. And all of that, that Friday happened, had to happen for a resurrection to take place. And some of you, maybe right now you're in the middle of it. Maybe you are at Friday. It's dark, it's dismal, it's painful. And all the people knew is that everything they had ever hoped for was gone. The disciples, hope was lost. In fact, the guys went out fishing and they just, oh well, it's all over. That's where some of you are right now. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that in 3 days from now, God's going to, you know, make everything good. I have things, painful things in my life that happened years ago. I still don't know why. I still don't get it. But I'm telling you that as you trust God, he will one day, here or in heaven, everything will be crystal clear. When you look at him face to face and we really experience life, we will know. So try to hear me in your pain and frustration. One day you will realize that it took a death to bring a resurrection. Maybe God wants to do something amazing through the grief or through the trials and through the very thing that you hate right now. You hate that's happening. So maybe you're a victim of a broken world. Maybe it was something you brought on yourself. Maybe God wants to do something. But this next one is not a maybe. Every point, I said, maybe it could be this, maybe it could. This is a for sure, okay? This is absolutely for sure. For sure, God is doing something in you. No matter how painful or difficult it is, whenever bad things are happening, God is doing something big in us. In fact, there's a very, very annoying verse in the Bible. You ever come across an annoying verse? This is an annoying verse I'm going to share with you. I mean, really, it might get you all worked up. This is annoying. And when you're going through hard times, it's even more annoying. But it's true, and it's God's word. So we got to take it. Here it is. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Probably some of you have read this before and gotten annoyed by this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. It's not saying be happy about it. Joy's different. Joy's bigger. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, it does something in you, develops perseverance. Isn't that annoying? Consider it all joy. I know I believe in God. I know I trust in God or whatever. I can say this about every single one of you. I know that about every one of you, whether you believe in God or not, I can say this almost without any hesitation. If you've lived long enough, all of you have been through something that you didn't like, that you didn't understand, and knew wasn't fair, yet over time you look back and say, I wouldn't have chosen that, I don't want to do it over again, but it made me different. It made me stronger. It made me more of the person I think God wanted me to be. It made me better. And some of you would say, even I've had situations, it drew me closer to God. Now you may have been mad at God for a while, okay? And by the way, it's okay to get mad at God. God's big. God's all powerful. God's all knowing. You know, he's okay with that, all right? It's not like your next door neighbor or your Uncle Bob. You can get mad at God for stuff, and it's okay. God understands the pain you're going through. So, but some of you say, it drew me closer. After I went through that angry stage and then that hurt stage and then that depressed stage. And some of you might even say, at the lowest time of my life, it was the worst of the worst. That was the point where I finally looked up and gave it all to Jesus. That's where I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I got to give it over to you. And it literally changed your life. I would never choose it, but God used that to do something. And I've had pain in my life that is so deep that it made me want to run, just run away. Made me want to run away from ministry. Some of you will identify with this, and I don't want to you know, frighten any of you, but I've had pain that made me want to end my own life. It's been those times when I've been thankful that I have a wife and children, to tell you the truth. Because there's been times it's just not stop the world, I want to get off. I just want to get out. And looking back in those times, those times are the times then when I see when I'm at that point and then I get into the, you know, middle end of that, then I start really trusting God, and my trust of him just grows, and it's just bigger. I've watched people go through horrific pain. I mean, trying to do a funeral for when the person you're doing the funeral for, it's a small little tiny casket. I have an unwritten rule, and that is, I don't think you should ever have tiny caskets. I don't think you should ever have them. Unless they're for really, really tiny 105-year-old people. That's it. No children, right? No, and doing a funeral for a baby, doing a funeral for a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. Oh, in fact, Nancy and I did one. When Janelle was 3 years old, we did a funeral together. We sang together for a family that lost a little girl, and walk in, and here's all these toys, the same thing that Janelle had in her toy box, and oh man, I lost it. And I tell you, you just think, God, this isn't right. Doing a funeral for teenagers. We've had teenagers here that have come to the youth group and now have passed away. People who've taken their own life. You know, how do you look in the parents and say, parents are saying, why would he do that? Why would she do that? And the most theological answer I can come up with is, I don't know. You say, why? Why did God make my child suffer all through that? How could my husband leave me? How could my wife just take off, leave us and the kids? I'm not making this stuff up. This is like real ones I've had the last, 25 years. Why do I have this painful disease? I've been asked those and many, many more. But listen, if you do life with God in his church, empowered by his word, I promise you that if you walk with him over your lifetime, you will declare that every bit of assurance that not only is he in control, but he is completely and absolutely good. That may be hard at times, but I mean, you will go through this and you will come to a point where you say, God, you are good, and you are good all the time. Now, what does this have to do with living out our Christianity? You say, well, everything. Now, the question people ask over and over again is really a flawed question. Because the question people often ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a flawed question. Because technically, we're not good people. I mean, technically, we're not good people. That's why you don't have to, right? You don't have to teach your kids to be selfish. I never had to teach any of my kids to lie. I didn't have to teach my kids how to steal. I didn't have to teach my kids how to, I did not have to teach my kids. That was their setting that they came with. That was the default setting. The setting was selfishness and sin because we're born in it, right? So it's a flawed question because technically we are not. I can say I'm a good person, but before God, compared to a holy, righteous God, I'm a sinner. In fact, Scripture clearly says that we're all sinners. Look at Romans 3:23 there. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned before a holy God and fallen short of his glory. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, no one does good, not a single one. Why this is important to realize is because until we see ourselves as sinners, we're not going to see our need for a Savior. As long as we feel like, even as a Christian, as long as we feel like we've got everything in control, right? Everything's going fine. Hey, it's some rough times. We have bumps in the road, but everything's going pretty well. As long as we're at that point, we may very easily just rest on our laurels and not really be trusting God. It's when we see ourselves as a sinner, when we see ourselves needing a Savior, is when we cry out to him. When we see that we are not good, we can acknowledge that bad things don't happen to good people. Now, let me say this. Something bad happened to someone good one time. It did happen. There was a time when something bad happened to something good, and his name is Jesus, and he volunteered for it. Something bad only happened to someone good one time, and he was the Son of God. And he stepped up and he said, I will become the perfect sacrifice. And he did that for you and me. The only good man was brutally beaten, tortured, crucified. And when God had to turn his back on Jesus while Jesus hung there dying on the cross, he asked his why question, as I said earlier. Look, it's right there, Mark 15:34. My God, why have you forsaken me? Then Jesus did what he came to do, and he proclaimed, it is finished. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And it was on Friday. And nobody understood that. Nobody understood. But it took what no one wanted to provide what we really needed. A savior of the world. And 3 days later, when the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty, and because of the death and resurrection of Christ, we don't have to ask, why do bad things happen to good people? The gospel is that good things can happen to bad people. And that's me. I'll tell you, some good things have happened to this bad person. You know, I was born in sin. And something really, really great happened to me. Jesus died for me, and he was buried, and he rose again. And that's why Jesus did it. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. He didn't come to call those who've got it together. He came to call us that are a mess, that need him, that need a savior. And he died for us. And whenever you're tempted to say God's not fair, I completely agree. God is not fair. He is not fair. He is just, but he's not fair. Because the truth is, if he was fair, folks, I'd be in hell right now paying for my sin. He's not fair. He threw fairness out. He came down and gave Jesus. That's not fair. An innocent man, perfect Son of God, comes down and dies for us. That's not fair. No, that's grace. That's him exercising the fact that he is God. God's not fair. He's just. He's not fair. Here's the good news. Oh, man, well, let's just celebrate with this verse. Psalm 103 and two verses there, 10 and verse 12. God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise God. Praise God, right? He doesn't treat us the way we deserve. Aren't you glad? I wish I could treat God the way he deserves, because he's the God of the universe. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus is. And I don't treat him what he deserves. But God doesn't treat me the way I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve to be separated from God. And he takes my sin and says, it's out of here. I'm glad he didn't say north to south. Because if you travel north, right, you start going south. God in all of his wounds, the east to west, you start going west, and it's forever. You know, it's in the deepest sea. It's forever. You never can remember it anymore. Praise God. And I want to say this as we close. I know some of you are hurting. You're having a hard time. You're just going through challenges that are just, I mean, they're trials you don't understand and you wouldn't ever want. You wouldn't want your worst enemy to go through some of the things you've gone through. And I want you to know something. God hurts with you. God hurts with those who hurt, the Bible says. Some of you need a miracle. And I'm here to tell you, our God is a God of miracles. And let me say this, the miracle that you are asking God for may not be the miracle that God wants to do in your life. It may be something much bigger. You may lose that person. You may lose that job. You may lose that situation. But just like the blind man was able to then have a ministry. And here's a guy that was destined to beg the rest of his life blind. And now he was able to go around and say, guess what? Remember the blind guy? I'm him. Jesus came and healed me. Some of you have that. You say, I was a sinner. And I accepted what Jesus did on the cross for me. And he died, buried, and rose again. I accepted that payment for my sin. And guess what? I was once blind. Now I see. I was dead. I'm alive now. I want to deal with just two extremes as we close this, because there can be two responses to this, and I understand them both. You know, some people would say, hey, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm compared to the next guy. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I really don't need a savior. I mean, I don't really need forgiveness. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. But the truth is, compared to a holy God, we're all in bad shape. I mean, we're all miserable. I mean, compared to a holy God, our best efforts, the Bible says, are like filthy rags. That's when we're on our good day. But then there's another pendulum swing, and that is, well, you know, I'm just such a rotten sinner, I don't think God could ever accept me. And it's like, I know, David, you say, all right, God accepts me, but you don't know what I've been involved with. In fact, nobody knows what I've been involved with. And God would never take me. I'm just too bad for God. I sin way too much. God would never forgive me. And that is a lie. And God wants you to know that. We've all sinned, but the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for us. A good God did something that we couldn't do for ourselves and never could earn. Jesus came, became sin for us, so that anyone who would receive him could be saved. I'm so glad about that. Let's bow. Some of you